You are watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Very recently, the debt management firm, or AKPK, have recently celebrated their 15th anniversary. And of course, joining me is Nirmala Subramaniam, the head of financial education of household, here to talk about AKPK's journey, how it has been for the past 15 years. Many of us have familiarized ourselves with the agency. Not many of us want to deal with the agency, not because of the agency's existence per se, but it means that there might be something going on and you need to fix something in order for you to reach out to them. So because of this relationship, love-hate relationship that all of us have with AKPK, it's timely for us to have a conversation with them. Nirmala, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Like I said, AKPK is needed. A lot of people, look at AKPK with that love-hate relationship. If you're flying high, it's not normal for you to reach out to AKPK. But because of which, sometimes most of us, particularly times like this, through a pandemic and all that, we've seen how AKPK have helped actually resolve some of our issues. Prior to getting this interview, I've read interesting numbers. You've helped over 1 million people. And of that, over 300 million have registered with the debt management program. That's really, really interesting. Let's do a quick recap into how the past 15 years have been for you guys.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Ibrahim, for the opportunity. And just to recap and just to reemphasize, actually, there's a stigma that we want to break too, that AKPK is not there just to help those in financial distress. We are also there to actually provide a preventive matter in terms of our financial education that we provide, because we want to try to help reduce issues or financial issues. Mm-hmm. Over the years, since we have established in 2006, our main priority was more towards our debt management program, where we, as what you mentioned, to date now we have helped close to about 300,000 people mm-hmm. into our debt management program, where we actually negotiate on their behalf with the financial institution to get a restructured repayment plan which is affordable by the borrower and acceptable by the financier. So we get this win-win situation between both parties. So now as a borrower, I can continue to repay my loans and settle my issues slowly one by one. And over the years, we had about 34,000 of them who have actually successfully completed the program, settling to a loan amount close to about 1.5 billion here. Mm. So that's like a really good success thing that, you know, when a guy walks out, you know, the satisfaction of actually settling one of your loans is really beyond words.
No, I know exactly what you mean. We were interviewing the PTPT and Deputy CEO at the time, and then she brought together her laptop. So after doing the interview, she sat me down. She asked me and all my colleagues in Estrawani, do you guys have PTPTN? And of course, you know, some of us have, some of us said we've paid them off, but most of us have not. And she said, okay, are you ready to get that discount, use your account to pay off your PTPTN? I think all of us signed up and we just settled our PTPTN loan right there and then, and it felt very much liberating. So yes, I exactly know what you're talking about.
It is a big relief, you know, once you settle. So when these clients of ours who have actually achieved that, they come back and share their stories, you know, how much of joy and peace they have now in terms, even it's not to that you have settled in full also, maybe they have 6-7 loans and they've even just made 3 settlements, that's also like a very motivating factor, and they managed to go on, you know. So this is what we feel that, you know, the main success of AKPK, you know, in terms of these guys being able to actually gain their peace of mind back, you know, back on track, getting back on their feet, you know, being able to settle their loans. And on the other part, as I mentioned, we also provide the preventive measure. This is our solution, but we also want to prevent, because prevention is always the best cure, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where we come up with our financial education. And over the years, we have reached to close to about 7 million people in various ways of educating via through the media. We have done financial education programs, face-to-face. We've been there conducting sessions in workplaces. We are also with the university higher learning institutions. We have a subject that's MQA accredited that a lot of universities have actually taken it as an elective subject for the students. These are the really right group, you know. So before I enter the workforce, this is a very essential life skill. Financial management is the key, you know. It's a life skill. skills, very important. Mm-hmm. So we have done various financial education programs, even on teachable moments, like, for example, I want to get married. So that's already another key life-changing factor there, you know. So yeah, what do you do before that? How do you manage your finances? What are the aspects you need to look? So yeah, we've done numerous financial education programs as well.
When you've done all these programs, reaching out with having a reach of 7 million people, how do you track the impact of Malaysians understanding or comprehending that kind of financial education process?
All right, there are various ways that we do that. Some are more of an awareness, so we want to trigger the point. Hey, you know, because at times we feel that we know everything, but we just want to trigger the point. So that's where media interviews and things come. But we have also done some focus programs, like to say we have done one with the micro entrepreneurs, these ladies who have got soft loan from AIM. Okay. And you know, they want to start up a business, Amanah Ikhtiar.
Yeah.
And so what we did was we did financial education with them, because what Amanah Ikhtiar found that they were okay in doing their business, but they were not there when it comes to their savings, their own personal financial management. Things were jumbled up between account, personal account, business account, and things like that. So we did a 6 month program with them where we handhold them through university students. Yeah, we educated this group of university students to actually help us. So it was like a three-party collaboration, and over the months we found that yes, this woman were able to do better. In fact, with zero savings, now they have gone up to at least about 600, 700 ringgit in terms of savings. They have started to separate their accounts, you know, and then they start to see better profits, you know, by better management. So they saw the success, slow success. And the other part is the students also saw, you know, this they got the hands-on activity here. You know, when I learn about financial, if it's very theoretical, it's not impactful to us. But when it's in a hands-on, I really do the project, I'm there with them, I see how hard is it to earn a 50 ringgit. In fact, one of the parents of this school child, this university student who came and said, what did you do to my child? Now she appreciates the money that I give her, you know, because she saw the thing. We also did another program on social enterprise, Selfie, where we gave these students the enterprise literacy in terms of how they can actually create an income and also manage them. And majority of them came back and told us, ma'am, the most difficult part of it was doing the cash flow. So you see, this is the critical thing, and this is where we really need that knowledge, the FE, and the things to know that, okay, look, this is something that will really help me in terms of managing my future, you know.
What was interesting to have you guys on is because we all know that DKPK has done a lot of work, but the problem here, and it is a problem, is that your work is not even nowhere near completion. We've all heard of statements saying that Malaysians are struggling with financial literacy and financial proficiency. And you can easily Google one item that I saw that was reported by The Edge last October by Credor, the PE firm. They created this financial literacy platform, Multiply. They found out almost 70% of Malaysians are in need of financial literacy support. And, you know, it's not uncommon. This is just one of the many studies that have shown that Malaysians really struggle when it comes to financial literacy. But at the same time, there are other financial tools out there that are rising, particularly amongst retail investors. For instance, Bursa Malaysia says that retail investors in the stock market has risen quite considerably last year because of the pandemic. In fact, we've seen housing loans take up, even though, you know, there's a moratorium, people are losing their jobs, but housing loans are still rising. It baffles me to think that on one hand, Malaysians need more financial education, on the other, we are wantonly spending our money away.
Agreed.
Perhaps it's connected, actually. now that I'm saying it, perhaps that is connected.
I agree. The interesting fact is knowledge is one part of it. You know, when knowledge increases, it doesn't necessarily translates to good behavior. So that's where we really need to tackle the behavior part of it. Mm. So when we give financial education, the key thing is we want to ensure that it translates into the right behavior. Mm. Like you mentioned, housing loan increasing, yes, because there were home ownership campaigns and things being done around. we hope that we also have a module to say that prior to taking up your first loan, the banks make it compulsory for them to actually go through our Rumahku, which is an online portal to see can I really afford to buy this property? That is the calculator and everything. And we have seen stats. We do ask them, are you going to proceed with the purchase? And we have seen people who actually remark to say, hey, no, I just finally realized, look, I can't really afford it now. I'll postpone the purchase. And some who say, yes, I'm good. So this kind of moments that before you take up, before you make that decision, I have to find for the right information, the right education and things like that. So rightfully, it's the literacy needs to be there, and the literacy needs to be guiding them to translate it into making the right decision. How am I going to make the right decision? It's just not about, hey, I know what are the products. I know when I take housing loan, these are the products available. These are the investment schemes available and things like that. But rather than what is most best suited for me, how do I make the right decision? What do I weigh in before I make that decision? So that's where we are actually bringing our education in. Okay, before you buy a car, what are the factors you really need to look at? You want to make a decision, what are the key factors you want to take up the insurance policy or things like that? What are the factors that you would want to look at? You know, so this is where the education needs to come in, rather than, hey, look, these are the type of credit cards, these are the type of loans available. That is information, rather than we want them to be able to calculate. So that's how we are bringing our financial education more towards. I agree there's a lot to be done. The survey says there's a lot to be done, and we are together with this Financial Education Network, which was established by Bank Negara and Security Commissions. And we have six major members there, AKPK, EPF, PIDM, all the key players, PNB, MOE, Ministry of Education, and Ministry of Higher Education are also there. So we have launched this in 2019, our national strategy, which we have 5 years of plans going in now, addressing all these key areas, starting from young, you know, inculcating good financial behaviors. Also the redress avenues in terms when it comes to scams, how do I beware of, you know. So yes,
sometimes the scams involve AKPK itself, not you guys, but agents or persons unknown making phone calls saying that they are agents of AKPK, and unwilling or unknowing individuals would be led astray. So it's very, very difficult to handle such fraudulent
cases.
That's
why we we have always been telling our clients, when you come in for our financial counseling and our financial advisory and our financial debt management program, it's free of charge. It's free of charge. We do not charge anything. Every payment that you make is going towards the your payment to the bank, you see. So we have been informing, but we do have this group who has been taking advantage on it, claiming to say they'll just give random calls and say, hey, look, if you have debt problems, we can help you settle them. And there's this, we will talk to AKPK and we will get the program in. And all you have to do is pay us 8% of your outstanding amount. So which we are saying, why? Why do you want to pay that when it's free? And anyway, the negotiation is done with the financial institution, and it's up to their decision to accept or not accept. It's not this agency. Nothing can be like 100% approved. Don't find the easy way out. The process to apply to us is very simple. You go online to our website, www.akpk.org.my, and then you can apply online. You can even, now we also have telecounseling where our counselors would call you. So if you had gone in and apply only, then only we call you. We don't make random calls. So also remember that if you were to just receive a random call and saying that this guy says, hey, I can help you with this, no, that cannot be us.
Agencies say that police, lawyers, whatever, they don't randomly call you.
Yeah, they would not. Like now we have the Macau scam, which is on the rise, where you have, you know, all the authorities from LHD, and especially now taxation period is around.
Strange.
Right?
My mother-in-law's in LHD and she got a call as well. It's so strange because you were telling me you got the call as
I got the call as well. So this is also something very common, you know, LHDN, they say they claim from LHDN, your tax has got problem, you know, and this. So whatever it is, take the step is you don't have to make any decision there and then, no matter how intimidating they can be. But
they do sound intimidating.
They are very.
And there's a sense of urgency.
Yes,
just very. If you don't close right now, something bad will happen.
I think they are trained so well in that.
Let's talk a little bit more about your debt management program. It's been reported that over 330,000 people have signed up for the debt management program. This is part of the larger 1.something million people that you've been helping. Not you, as in, I'm sure you have helped, but AKPK has been helping over the past 15 years. What specific things you want to share about the debt management program per se?
All right. Basically, the ones what we have seen statistically, what we have seen, the ones who are coming to us when we ask them, why did you get into what happened? You know, what's the cause of these financial issues? And a majority of them has said it's due to poor financial planning. So this is one of the factors that we have seen that, hey, why poor financial planning? When I dig deeper, it's like I do not know what's the size of loan that I can really afford. You know, to take, and you know, when I make these decisions, did I really look into the factors? We also had scams issues, people who actually wrongly invested, they borrowed money, did the wrong investment, and then they, and we also had on recently now we do have on high cost of living, which is also a rising reason why financial issues, financial debts are becoming unmanageable. Yeah, so this is part of the key observation that we are trying to tackle is poor financial management. So that's where the education comes in. We've also seen that a majority of them who comes to us are between the age of 30 to 50. 70% of our clients are between this age, 30 to 50. I would say this is a very critical age because this is when you're starting a family, your children are growing, and at the same point of time, your parents are also aging. We call this group sandwich generation, and we Asians, we take care of our parents. And so it's a very critical age. You know, you're accumulating wealth at this time as well. At the same time, while you're accumulating wealth, you're also accumulating debts. You know, so if it goes unmanageable, this is where they crash. In fact, if you look at bankruptcy stats, you will see that it's within this age group as well. So hence why we feel that it's so important that the education starts very young. As once as you start your first job, if you do manage that well in that first 10 years,
not many people rack up their credit card, max out their credit cards early on in their career, and they find it a tough
exactly.
time.
Exactly, that's a killer point.
It.
Yes, that's a killer point because they will say, "I would want to save when I get married."
Yeah.
You know, I would start thinking about finances when I have children, but it's a bit too late then.
But when you're 26, 25, and you already have maxed out your credit card, you're off to a bad start. That's a strange paradigm.
Yes, and
not to mention wages. I mean, particularly if you live in a big town, KL, Penang, JB, if you are starting off with somewhere around 2,000 plus minus, that's not going to be enough. I mean, it's just how it is.
It's just how we're going to manage it and how we're going to look, how we're going to set our priorities right. We have seen some very...
But the stress is actually quite increasing, right? Because when we had EPF here, they were talking not just about a sandwich economy, they're talking about club sandwich economy, when you have to now support your great-grandparents on top of your parents, and then, of course, your children, and your wage is not increasing, the outcome is and the outlook is very, very dim, if you ask me. And that's why one of the items that I came across in doing this job is what they call deletive manufacturing, in terms of trying to build more, trying to educate more. Sometimes deletive manufacturing is always better, i.e. if you want to make something better, it's better to start to think about how to take something out. Is education part of that? Instead of teaching kids, I don't know, trigonometry, differential, you know, things that I don't normally do. Even if I'm a mathematician, for instance, I don't do these things. But, you know, doing taxes, paying off debt, understanding net present value of money, you know, money. So do you think that we should take much of the things out of our education system and perhaps put some of the things that we literally do every year? Taxation, we're in the taxation season right now.
I agree with you, Ibrahim, where the life skills, this is what we call skills that we need for our life, for our livelihood, you know, this is essential skills, you know, knowing how do you actually even start investing at a very young age, you
agree.
Know, that's the key to it. The younger you start, the better it
agree,
is, you know.
Yeah.
So I would definitely agree
but
with
if
you.
If somebody doesn't understand future value and present value,
yes.
they don't appreciate the fact that
the problem and the issue I see is most of it is becoming has a part of a subject rather than a subject of its own. It's very important to have this as a subject of
we
its own.
We used to have one. You know, it's called Kemahiran Hidup.
Yes.
Somehow or other that has transcended into woodworking and I don't know.
Yeah. But I guess that's where also parents play a part here. Parents play a very important part also, because I've also read some research that says that 70 to 60% of a person's financial habits actually come from what they have observed when they were young, you know. So as parents is also key, a key thing for us to actually also display and demonstrate a good financial habit. If we start talking, having these conversations about money at a very young age with them, and we also have this conversations on investments, you know, talking about that at the age. So I guess that will also cultivate, or they will start to think, okay, this is how I need to be, rather than everything has been catered for. Because I think one of the mistakes the current generation parents do is we tend to substitute our time with money or with gifts or with things that we want to actually give them what we have not got when we were younger, you know. So that's also another issue, and that leads out to a different kind of generation, which they are not resilient enough because everything has been catered for. I know a lot of parents who are still supporting, even their child is working, they're still supporting in terms of their car petrol, fuel, in those kind of supporting. But when do you actually get them to be independent, to know, you know, that this is important, everything cannot be supported all the time. So also, in a family, it plays a part. I agree with you, the school also plays a part. The education system also plays a part. But also in reality, is what's happening in the family. That's where the key things are also. So as parents also, we have to really demonstrate good financial habits as well. That would actually help our generation to avoid these issues in terms of getting into financial problems. But we also have cases where they got into financial problems due to circumstances that were not within their control, like illness, yeah, accidents, illness, things. So this is where the protection,
sudden loss of jobs, like sudden pandemic. Loss.
Correct. This was a shock to us, a lot of us, right? We had industries that we never thought would die or would be in trouble.
Tourism, were actually hospitality, you know,
airlines,
travel,
yeah. Because airlines don't necessarily just depend on tourism, you know, business. People sometimes travel daily and things like that. But it was hit because we couldn't cross the border, you know. And so resilience and sustainability became an issue here. So when you talk about finances, now we have to talk one step ahead too. How do you actually look on things? How do you protect things when there are circumstances like this happen? That this is a lesson. Actually, the pandemic really taught all of us a lesson that we can't take anything for granted. So we can't even take our finances for granted, actually.
A good saying is that you never let a crisis go to waste, or never waste a crisis on opportunity, right? Because this is one of the times when, while times are hard and can be very hard for the many of us, particularly those that are watching us right now and listening to us right now, what would be some of the ideas that you want to share with them in the near term when it comes to financial management, debt management, and perhaps your role as AKBK in trying to get them across, I guess, cross that bridge to financial freedom?
All right. First and foremost, we have this thing called acknowledgement. We have this 4A that we are looking at is acknowledge. Acknowledge that there is an issue, acknowledge there is a problem. Sometimes we tend to sweep things under the carpet. We think that we can manage everything, but we are not looking at how to actually address this issue. So acknowledge and understand where you are, what's your issue right now. Yeah. The next thing, A, is analyze. Now you come and analyze. So what's your size of debt? What's your financial income like now? So if you are in the midst of losing a job, or you know, so what's your compensation? Are you getting any, or you know, or things? So what's your savings like? How much do you have? So sit and really calculate that. So analyze. And analyze also possible possibilities of you getting, where can you earn extra? Is there any possibilities of training? And now there are so many upskilling, reskilling trainings offered free. Take opportunities. You really got to know. Some people, they don't really know what's being offered. When you really look at the opportunities being offered, there is a lot. Yeah. So it's time for you to really grab them. You want to do online business. You know, everybody is getting into entrepreneurship now. Learn the right way first. We don't want you to use the remaining funds you have and, you know, getting it lost in wrong investments as well. So learn about the right skills, the right methods, find a mentor if you really want to get into entrepreneurship.
One item that I perhaps would like to add is that it's never too late, despite when you think it is too late. Anytime is a good time to start.
Anytime is a good time.
Even if you think you would have to start 10 years ago, yesterday, whatever, it doesn't matter. Right now is still a good time to start.
Exactly. It's never too late. It's just that don't hide the issue and keep procrastinating.
The stats, but that would be the number one reasons for people finding a divorce, I suppose, because they hide stuff from
them. All right. And then the next thing is to act on it. So if you have debt issues, you have to talk to your financiers, you know, you have moratoriums, you have the targeted repayment assistance, So you talk about it, talk to your financiers, talk to your family, discuss how you're going to resolve these issues, you know. Sell yourself now too. So if you are really in the midst of looking for a job, really in the midst of, now it's all about networking. You know, it's all about networking. So you've got to talk to a few people. You've got to, see how the ways that you can actually promote yourself, sell yourself where, you know, how do you do the right resume? It's different now from those days. You know, things are a bit different. So learn the new ways. In fact, some people are so camera shy, you know, they were thinking, in fact, me, I never did a video of myself all my time. But last year when pandemic hit, we are all on MCO, so we had to do videos on ourselves for media. So that was a change for me. But yeah, it's not hard once you have started it, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was some of it. And also that the next thing, we are here, AKPK is here to help you. The last A, we also have this social synergy that we have. So this social synergy, what we have is we have with other related organizations that will actually be able to help, like SOKSO, JTK, Jabatan Tenaga Kerja, we have MDEC. So for a person who comes to us, we don't only look at your debt, but we're also looking to see how we can help you the other ways, like source of income is an issue for you. So we see whether JTK has something to offer you or MDEC has some trainings that they can offer you. We're also in collaboration with Mara. So we have this synergy that would be able to assist you, not only in terms of financial, but also mental stress. So we are also with Befrienders, we're also with so you know, you need someone to talk to right at that point of time. So we have this synergy that we're looking forward to help you. And now AKPK is for all, where we say AKPK, previously we always say is for individual, now we are for all, where we have also expanded to assisting SMEs and micro entrepreneurs in terms of we have taken over the small debt resolution from Bank Negara, and now we are assisting my SMEs and this thing in terms of their financing issues, in terms of their debt issues as well. So they are also welcome to come to AKPK for further assistance.
Fantastic. Thank you, Nirmala. That was Nirmala Subramaniam of AKPK. If you've missed any part of this show, just go to astroawani.com, look for Notepad over there. Also, I urge you to head on to AKPK's website and find a lot of information there. Remember, fraudsters are all around us, so always go to the original folks. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.